McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning again, and welcome to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and we are back with another show here and another hour to just basically wow you and win Marconi Radio Awards.
Oh, yeah. We need to win some more radio awards.
We do. Because my mantle's a little empty.
Do they get them out for having 21 or more listeners?
You know, why can't they start our own category? Oh, I know what we need to do, you guys. We need to get back in the studio and then slap the crap out of each other, and then maybe we'll win an award. What do you think?
You had to go there right away, huh?
I couldn't help it.
Yeah, I know. So many
listen,
more important things.
We have our
things.
Own awards. We got the best of the Hudson Valley kids. Let's not forget that.
I know, but that award is collecting a little dust. Yeah, we need a fresh award.
It is. We do need a fresh award, and I won't go there with never mind.
I know. I tried to divert Frankenberry.
No,
don't bring it back.
No, it's okay. But one of my friends from college, he had one reference to the whole Oscars Will Smith thing, and all he said, "Look, Fresh Prince." Prints.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And
I
it took me. It took me 24 hours to get it.
It did?
No. It didn't hit me at first.
Would you give up coffee or something? Do you drink coffee?
No, I do not.
It didn't hit you at first.
Ah.
It did.
You people.
Well, if you guys don't want to, talk about it, I do have something else we could talk about. Can we just go around the room, though, and answer this one question, and then we'll move on, okay?
No.
Please.
Nope.
Real or fake? And I'm not talking about my breath.
I'll say real.
But
I'm not going to talk anymore about it.
I don't care.
Okay. Good answer.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to go with an I don't care either. I'm going to go with an I don't know.
Yeah. The only thing that bothers me about it is that it took away from the entire night. So can anybody, tell me what the name of the best picture was. Can anybody talk about how Questlove's acceptance speech was fantastic or the first deaf actor to actually win an award or male actor, that kind of thing. All that is missing now because of this.
True.
Well, and here's a news flash for you. I didn't watch it.
I know.
I watched some highlights. I didn't watch the actual show itself. I mean, I did go to YouTube and watch some of the acceptance speeches. But that's the only real disappointment or take of mine from all of this is that it took away from everybody else's big night.
I haven't watched the Oscars in a long, long time. Excuse me. And this isn't going to make me start watching it. So moving on. Since we were talking about us needing to win an award. I have the second best thing. This may not be considered an actual award, but I got some texts last week from somebody who I think we all know and love, State Senator Sue Serino. And
oh, yeah, I like her.
She's an amazing person and an amazing senator. And she texted me just to let us know that she loves listening to us in the car every Sunday morning. And that we make her laugh and that she had her own. Remember a few weeks back, I talked about how I think we've forgotten to flirt. And I told you guys a story about the parking attendant guy who was flirting with me and then asking. Yeah. All right. I have a follow up to that. But before I move on to that story, and I told her that I was going to have a part two to that story. I just want to give this is an unsolicited shout out. Sue Serino is one of those politicians. I don't even like to call her a politician because that seems to have a negative connotation.
It almost seems like a dirty word, unfortunately.
It almost does.
She's fantastic.
More like a public servant. And she really walks the walk, talks the talk. She's one of the few in my lifetime that I know that have really jumped in, not only especially when it counts, but when this pandemic first happened, she was like boots on the ground. Doing stuff for her constituents. She's just amazing. She has heart. She really cares. She's smart. She's classy. We love her. We can't never lose her. And we appreciate her.
Oh, wait, having I just got that, confused. Were you talking about me or her? I just got confused for a second.
I know. You know what? It is interchangeable, but at that moment, I was talking about Senator Sue Surita.
And I'm with you there. I think the world of her. A lot of respect for her.
Yes, a ton of respect for her. So I did tell her I was going to have a part two follow-up to the flirting story, and I do. So just as a little bit of a recap, if our 12 or 13 listeners may know, that a couple weeks back I was lamenting that we have forgotten how to flirt as a society. And the case I used as an example was I was parking my car in a parking garage, and the nice parking attendant paid me a compliment. He said I was pretty or whatever.
Beautiful. And I
was, he said that.
And you okay, Carol?
And you know, I'm kidding, because I say she's beautiful more than anybody else, probably on the show anyway. So,
but no, I know. So, and I'm doing that myself just from hearing it. So, and I was very appreciative and I was very flattered. But then he took it like a step further and he asked me if I was married. And I was complaining because that's like an odd way to flirt with somebody. Like, oh, well, if I'm not married, you're going to propose? Like, here we are standing in the garage by my car. We don't know each other. Like, why go there? So anyway, Sue had actually said, and maybe we'll get it out of her one of these days, that she has her own similar story. But here's the turn that mine has taken. So when I first told you guys this, I remember saying that I actually lied. When he said to me, asked me if I were married, which I'm not married, I said to him, yes, because I thought that was the safest, easiest, least offensive way to move on and get out of that uncomfortable conversation. So, and that was a lie. Obviously, I'm in a relationship, but I'm not married. So as luck would have it, I've since seen him a few more times parking my car in this same garage. And now he has gone from asking me if I'm married to I finally fessed up to him and I said, look, because he keeps flirting with me. Like wanting to get together. He wanted to give me his phone number. He wanted my phone number. So I leveled with him and I said, look, I'm not on the market. But then in order to pay back the compliment, I said to him, if that changes, I know where to find you. Right, so I came clean in one respect, but then I kind of lied because, you know, I'm not really interested, and I doubt I'll be interested for no other reason than just, you know, I am who I am and whatever, you know, I'm just not. So he gets very excited every time he sees me, and the last time he saw me, he started spouting off his phone number, and I said, I'm not gonna take your phone number now. I said, but I know where you work. So at some point, I guess, like, how long do I keep this up is my question. Like, how long until I just put the kibosh on it and tell him to stop throwing himself at me? Like, do I ever do that?
Jonna, you already had your opportunity to do that twice, and yet you dug yourself a hole both times.
What are you talking about?
Boom. The second you said, hey, by the way, gonna tell you the truth. I'm not married, but I'm not on the market. Boom. Conversation done.
But I know where to find you.
Exactly.
Little open window.
Exactly. The guy ran home to all his buddies and said, she didn't say no.
Come on. You can't tell that was just me. Like, sometimes don't you want to be let down gently? You know, that was my way of letting him know I wasn't offended, but I'm not interested.
Is this a parking garage in the building where you live?
In the new one, yes.
Jonna, so it's not like you can start parking someplace else.
Jonna.
No, I absolutely cannot.
You told the guy, hey, listen, I'm not on the market, but you know, if I were on the market, I'd come find you. Okay?
But I didn't really mean that. That was
you know you didn't mean it. What he obviously does not.
What are you saying, Frankenberry, that you men can't tell when a woman is trying to exit stage left without pulling a Will Smith on you? Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, twice.
Oh, God. Now, listen.
Oh, now yep. I'm the one. Now
the only thing that's going to help me right now, Jonna, is if you actually do slap me and wake me up, okay? Because you left the door open. Am I wrong, Carol?
She left the door open. But you know what? So it's easy for, you know, a little armchair quarterback here for me to say, you know, you shouldn't have left the door open. But who am I to judge somebody else for letting somebody down softly? Because it's so hard for anything that might hurt somebody's feelings to come out of my mouth. So I don't know that I'm a really good judge here.
And let's put ourselves, let's be the pursuer. Let's say that we were attracted to somebody and we had the guts to put that out there, which to me, you have to have guts to put that out there. Not everybody does. And then let's say that person not only was mean about it, but was like, oh, hell no. I would never be with you, you disgusting pig. I hope you die. Like, what? Like,
okay.
You never do that.
Miss Dramatics, you didn't do that, lady. Okay. You gave yourself you gave him a very kind no. You said, hey, listen, I'm not on the market. I appreciate the compliment. Thank you very much. Boom. Conversation done.
Frankie Mary, I have to say, you know, I love you both. And I have to admit, I'm honestly slightly disappointed in our friend here this morning because, because I look forward to your drama. Because stuff happens to you that doesn't happen to anybody else. And you always find a way to make it really funny. And the best thing you can come up with today in your Jonna drama land is the fact that somebody thinks you're really gorgeous and keeps letting you know that.
Somebody he threw himself at me and started screaming his phone number into the air, hoping that I would do what with it? Capture it in my phone and start sending, you know, sexting with him or something.
Frankie Berry, we haven't done this in a while. You ready?
Jonna drama. Yes, Jonna, that's what he was hoping for. He was hoping that you would individually grab each number with your hand, put it in your heart, and then blow him a kiss.
All right, so here's another option. I got it. Roll out of bed one morning. Do not brush your hair. Do not wash your face. As a matter of fact, do not take your makeup off from the night before. Let it smear all over your face. Get yourself some flannel pajamas.
No way.
And I know you've got some big fuzzy slippers.
Love
and just go slopping into the garage one morning. And bralette? Let him. Yep. I'm not sure on that one. And let him see you that way. Maybe he'll lose his interest a little bit. What do you say?
Well, I think the only way that I can make him lose his interest if I do that is if I go down into the garage and I shuffle into the garage and then maybe I just start like air humping, you know, near him or something. And scratching
my
arm.
That's going to help?
Yeah. Like a crazy person. You know. Like, what if I just start acting like a crazy person and then I let a little drool come out, like inside my mouth? Maybe I take my finger and I pull the side of my mouth open so he can see way in the back where I'm missing that tooth still. You think? Or should I add that to the script? Maybe what I'll do.
Or maybe you could have like a whoopee cushion in your pocket. When you walk past him, you could squeeze it.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm not going to say the word, Jonna, out of respect
Don't
for you.
Don't you dare.
As to what sound
wait,
that
wait,
might
wait.
Make.
You come up with a, Frank Bear, you've had a really good term for this in the past. What is it?
My dad used to call it a windy puff.
Windy puff.
I'm muting the screen. I'm muting the two of you.
Telling you, Jonna. That would boom. He'd be done.
I don't know. You men don't seem to. It doesn't seem to bother your kind.
Your kind. You're one of them.
Yeah, right. Your gender. So anyway, maybe the moral of the story is, you know, I am not alone. Senator Sue Serino has her own similar story. I'm sure of the 19 or so listeners we have out there, they too might have their own similar stories and advice on how I could handle this in the future, because I will need to park in that garage again. And if so, give us a shout.
Yes, and you know. And I think you need to invite Sue onto the show here to actually tell us her story herself, and then maybe she can offer some advice here in like a segment three.
That would be a great idea when she's not so busy. That is actually a great idea. Now, I'm going to help Carol with the sagu that I know she's really trying to formulate in her head.
But, yeah, we are so far from anything I can grasp on.
I know.
I can hear the wheels spinning. God. The wheels are spinning.
I'm going to help you because I'm just going to transition and tell you guys one little thing that did excite me this week. And I know nobody will find this very exciting, but I purchased a new refrigerator. Now I know you're like, oh wow,
an appliance. Stop it.
Yay, how nice. But let me tell you something about this refrigerator. There's one refrigerator and only one refrigerator on the market currently that makes Kraft ice. You know, the big ice balls that you put in like a bourbon or whatever when you want slow melting ice. That's called Kraft ice. And one refrigerator makes it, and I had to have it.
Oh my God.
What, are you laughing at ice balls?
No.
I'm laughing at the fact that you went out and bought a brand new refrigerator so you can plop out Kraft ice cubes
I'm laughing at Kraft ice as somehow a little ball of ice melts slower in a glass of bourbon than a square ice cube.
Oh no, I'm with her on that. I'm not laughing at her for that because done it.
Because you don't pour your king of beers over an ice ball, Frankenberry.
Hey, I can't have that drink. It doesn't have artisan ice in it. No, thank you. Go away.
But so I got it. Now, the whole thing, I just got it. So it takes 48 hours for your first ice ball to make its way from the whatever mechanism into your ice ball tray. And I put it on a setting where you can either make 6 ice balls at a time or 3 ice balls at a time. And what I didn't know when I bought this refrigerator is that it takes 24 full hours to make an ice ball. So you got to plan, like if you're having a party where people are going to be drinking bourbon, whatever they want, these ice balls, you got to plan like a week at a time. And so then you have enough ice balls for everybody. But I figured, hey, you know, it's a little splurge for me to spend some of my disposable income on, which, you know, I decided to do because I'm not very good with money. That's a softball, Carol. That is a softball.
Well, no, you are good. You're very, very good with money. you're good at generating it and spending it.
Mm-hmm,
all the way around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, still no, nothing.
Okay, this is painful. Just introduce the damn guest, will you please?
One thing
Wait. I wonder what happened for this refrigerator that you spent your money on. If you dropped one of those ice balls into the Hudson River, would you see the ripples from it?
Okay.
You know, I'm
okay.
Can you go back and delete that part?
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is a dentist chair or if this is, you know, nails on a chalkboard. I'm not quite sure which one.
All right, fine. All right.
So
it wasn't one of our best sagus, but he is going to be one of our best guests because if you guys are like me, I am always looking for ways to make money when I sleep. Isn't that something we all would love to do? A passive income stream. And, you know, lot of us get too bogged down with our everyday and our working hard and working for the money. And we don't have at our disposal easy ways that maybe we could get that done. But our guest coming up after the break, whose name happens to be Chris Miles, and he is the owner of a business called MoneyRipples.com, where that is his life's work. He teaches people how to earn passive income and have multiple streams of income. And get this, he's been like broke 2 times before the age of 39 and rebuilt all of his wealth. So he has walked the walk and he knows what he's doing. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking the talk with Money Ripples owner and creator, Chris Miles.
All right. That sounds good. That is what is on the way. And just in case you're curious, we won't be doing any day drinking in this interview, so we don't have to wait for our ice balls to drop. So we'll have Chris on the way. And you're listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spilborn and Carol Pesci, and we will be right back with segment number 2 at our guest.
Donna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Donna and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here. It's Jonna Spielborg. It is Carol Pesci. It is myself. I'm Frankenberry. And it's time now to get to our guest. And we're going to talk about money. And as we just said in the break there to Chris and everybody else here, Jonna and Carol, we're not going to talk about money problems. We're going to talk about money good things. Money ripples.
The opposite of problems is good things. Or money ripples. Right. And who doesn't love money? I love talking about money. So to help us do that today, we are going to be speaking with Chris Miles. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Chris is a cash flow expert, and he likes to call him this makes me laugh, but I like it. He likes to call himself the anti-financial advisor. He's also a leading authority teaching entrepreneurs and professionals how to get their money working for them today, not 50 years from now, today. He's an author, a podcast host, podcast host of the Chris Miles Money Show, which incidentally, you guys, I've been listening to and I absolutely love. He's been featured in US News, CNN Money, Entrepreneurs on Fire, Bigger Pockets, and has a proven reputation with his company, Money Ripples, which is moneyripples.com, getting his clients fast financial results. In fact, his personal clients have increased their cash flow by almost, hold on to your hats, $300 million in the last 12 years. That's nothing to sneeze at. So Chris Miles, cash flow expert, welcome to Happy Hour.
Thanks. Yeah, we're trying to get to that $1 billion mark, but that takes some work, you know?
Well, maybe we can help you get there, right? Maybe we can help you.
Help me help you.
Help you get there. So listen, you are a money guy, and I like that, you know, kind of your shtick is you're the anti-financial advisor. And just full disclosure, I have a fabulous financial advisor who happens to be married to my co-host, Carol Pesci, and he is awesome. But I also think that there are a lot of people who can benefit from having irons in a lot of fires. So, and one of the things I'm learning from listening to your podcast and doing some research on you is you are a big proponent and perhaps expert in creating passive income. So why don't we talk about what is passive income?
Yeah, when we're referring to passive income, what we're really talking about is how to have income coming in that you're not working for. Simple enough, right? This is money coming in that can come from investments, it can come from interest and things like that. But ultimately, what we're trying to do is get money coming in so you work because you want to, not because you have to.
Which is, I mean, a lofty goal for everybody. But I think a lot of people are sort of stymied. How do we, you know, let's say we've got we have a total of about 13 or 14 lists. And
No. The senator, we just confirmed the senator is a fan of our show, and that makes 21. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true.
We're into the 20s, Jonna. Credit.
Breaking the 20 club.
Thank you.
You know, and our listeners can, they rank from, you know, people who work hard 9 to 5, they could be entrepreneurs, they can, so they run the gamut. What is the first thing that you can teach or talk to us about, you know, can anybody create passive income? What are ways that we can get rich no matter where we are in our personal financial journey?
Absolutely. Anybody can do it. The issue is that the financial education system we've had just does not work, right? And, you know, I'm coming from a background, you know, 20 years ago, I was the mainstream financial advisor. I was teaching people to save everything, spend nothing, save it forever, and hopefully someday your life won't suck, right? and that's pretty much been it. It's like, hey, you got to scrimp and save and just pile away money and compound it forever. And then hopefully you'll live on less than the interest. And I remember even 20 years ago, we even started questioning the whole 4% rule, which says if you save up $1 million, you can live on 4%, which is $40,000 a year, and not hopefully run out of money. Well, just last October, the Wall Street Journal finally said something I've been saying for 15 years, which is 4% is too high. It should only be maybe 3%. So that means even if you're a millionaire, you're not supposed to pull out more than $30,000 a year from your mutual funds, from your retirement accounts, IRAs and 401ks and things like that. Well, now you're a broke millionaire. Who can live on $30,000 a year, really? I mean, no wonder we have so many baby boomers begging and pleading that we keep Social Security around. because though the average 401k right now has about $250,000 in it, maybe almost $300,000 by this point. But think about it, $300,000, you live on 3% of that, that's $9,000 a year. That's not enough.
No.
And that's something I learned pretty quickly as a financial advisor. I did that for 4 years. And then by the mid 2000s, I realized, I said, wait a minute, I'm looking at evidence. I'm looking at people who have had financial advice for decades, yet nobody's truly financially free where they don't worry about money. I mean, there's people that could have millions of dollars, but they still wonder if they're going to run out based on, you know, their typical lifestyle. And so, you know, at that point, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher appears, I started running into people that were in real estate investing. They had the exact opposite lifestyle. You know, they would invest $1 million and easily make at least six figures from that $1 million, not $30,000 a year, but $100,000, $120,000, $150,000, $200,000 plus from that same thing. Now, some of them were active investors, which I don't recommend. I recommend, especially if you're busy doing what you want to be doing or not want to be doing, you know, find something that's more passive where it's not requiring all your time and attention. And that's where it could be things like, you know, being passive investments where it might be turnkey real estate investing. So turnkey real estate investing says you get a property manager, you don't manage the property, you don't deal with the tenants, toilets, and trash, but instead you're actually the person that's collecting the checks because you have a property manager doing all that work. They find the renters, they deal with any issues that might come up. You just get whatever's left. And if you're in the right place of the country, not like whatever most people have been doing, you know, mostly in like Midwest or Southeast, right now I know I can make at least a 10 or 12% what's called a cash on cash return. So that means that if I put $100,000 down on a property, I expect at least $800 to $1,000 a month of profit coming in. And again, I'm not the one dealing with this. So I'm not putting my time and energy into that property. And there's so many other ways. I mean, you can even not even have to deal with that. You can even just deal with pulling your money together with other investors and buy an apartment building. You can go and buy self-storage units. You can go deal things with oil, you know, in that oil industry and things like that and get paid off that. There's land transactions you can do where people pay you like you're the bank. You can do lending where you are the bank and people pay you back with principal and interest versus the other way around where we're always paying principal and interest, right? There's just such a variety of ways, this whole world that I never realized until about 2006. When I left the financial advising world, I said, I can't do this anymore because it's not working. It's not really giving people that freedom that we were always hoping to give them. And that's the big difference is that it's made a night and day difference where people have gone from spending decades, hopefully having financial freedom to having that same financial freedom in 5-10 years.
Chris, is most of what you do and most of what you teach around real estate?
Real estate based often, yes, but not like typical where you hear people doing all their fix and flipping or doing all this crazy stuff. It really is around, you know, real estate having the actual value, but it could be a variety of different types of real estate that you're dealing with, whether it's commercial, you know, whether you're dealing with, like I said, self-storage, you're dealing with apartment buildings, dealing with single family homes, duplexes. It could be dealing with, like I said, land where you're getting paid off that. I mean, I have $100,000 invested with a partner that's doing all the investing for me. And that $100,000 is paying me $4,415 a month passive income right now.
And which is wonderful and awesome. And you deserve to be in that position because you work to get yourself into that position to have the money to invest in the first place. Let's speak to somebody who's like, I am tired of the rat race. I'm tired of the 9-to-5. I'm tired of working for the man, but I don't have a whole lot of excess cash. Where do I begin to start creating another source of income to hopefully allow me to step free from that? I don't have a whole lot of extra cash. Where do I begin?
Yeah, there's usually two types of people that say that. People that honestly do not have any of the cash or any of the resources like I was in, because I went through the recession. I went from millionaire to upside down millionaire. We went over $1 million in debt with $16,000 short every month.
Wow.
I had to dig out of that without filing for bankruptcy. And that was a long, hard journey till I was able to be financially independent in 2016. So just understand, I never come from a place of judgment, because I guarantee almost anybody listening probably hasn't been in a worse financial position than I was in personally. So there are people that legitimately don't have money, no doubt
allows you to be better at what you do now. So that has in the long run served you, although I'm sure it was painful at the time.
You have to get creative, right? And so like the last recession, I learned how to get really scrappy and creative. And, you know, there's a few things you can do if you're in that position where you honestly don't have any money. And I'll talk about the second group in a second. But this first group, if you were saying, hey, I am paycheck to paycheck, I have saved nothing, right? I am just living, you know, from month to month, or there's almost too much month at the end of the money. right?
Yep.
If you're in that position, the best thing you can do is just some of the simple steps. You know, I actually line them out in my book that's on moneyripples.com. The first thing is start tracking your money. Don't create a budget. Don't even start there. And by the way, I hate the word budget. I think that's a swear word.
It's like diet. Spending plan.
It is. It's like diet, isn't it?
A money diet.
It's restrictive. And the truth is that it's not really a budget. It's really a spending plan, because even if you die with money, it's going to get spent by somebody else. It just depends on when it gets spent. But you can spend money to save it, to invest. You know, you can do all kinds of things, you know, depending on where that money's being deployed. But the first thing you do is start tracking your money. And so I use tools like Mint. If you ever use Mint, there's an app where you can go online to mint.com. Free tool you can use. And this is what I used when I was in the hole. That's how I found out I was in the hole, $16,000 a month, because I was ignoring it. I didn't want to see it, but I noticed my savings was going out fast and my credit lines were going up quickly too. And I found out why, because I started to track my money and see what was going on and found out, I've got maybe $5,000-$6,000 coming in every month, but between my business and personal expenses, I was spending about $21,000-$22,000 a month. So I was short. So I had to reverse that. And so tracking your money, just creating that awareness, makes a big deal. And anytime somebody tells me, especially if they're an entrepreneur, they say, I'm just too busy working. I don't have enough time to do it. Every time someone said that and then they did this, they found at least $500 a month without having to live off rice and beans, like our good old friend Dave Ramsey might say, right? You don't have to be cheap. You don't have to live in scarcity. But people will often just find that money because they're actually paying attention to it. I had one woman who, she was a contractor. She found about $1,800 a month just doing that. I had another woman where, get this, she started tracking her money. She was making $250,000 a year between her and her husband, and they didn't know why they didn't have any savings. They were spending everything. Found out they were spending over $5,300 a month eating out. Just eating out, not including groceries.
Holy cow.
Wait a minute. What's wrong with that? Nothing.
That's extreme. The cool thing is I told her, I said, hey, let's cut back your eating out budget to quote unquote only $1,000 a month. And then let's see what happens. And the cool thing is by all said and done, we freed up about $70,000 a year for them between that, saving on taxes and things of that nature. So that's a big thing, a big first step is tracking your money, knowing what's going on. And then you can make adjustments. Then you can start saying, hey, maybe I want to be spending more in this category or less in this category, depending on what's going on. I had people all the time, especially, not as much nowadays because now people are starting to catch on to streaming. But I remember 10 years ago, people were buying Comcast, spending $150-$200 a month for that. I'm like, come on, I could spend $20 a month and get almost all the things that I wanted from, those 120 channels and nothing on, as Bruce Springsteen sang about, right? So that's the thing, is that there's so many ways to really become a wise steward. You don't have to be scarce about it. You don't have to be someone who's just nitpicking to death, but you can be wise about it. And then once you get that under control, then look for other ways to generate more income. Now, this is one that was mysterious to me, even as a financial advisor, funny enough. You think you're supposed to be the guy that has it all figured out about money, but the truth is financial advisors are trained to be salespeople, not trained to be financial experts, right? All we are trained to do is really mutual funds and insurances or annuities and things like that. But when it came to generating income, it was kind of an ethereal thing to me. Here's the secret to making more money, no matter if you're an entrepreneur or you're in a JOB. The key is this, is always focus on how can I create more value for more people? What can I do to create a win-win for the person that's paying me? So even if you're at a job, say, well, what can I do to serve them, solve more problems in this to where I can merit myself a raise? And I've had several clients do this where I said, go to your boss, your manager, whoever's in charge of giving you raises, and ask them, say, what can I do for the company? Not, hey, I deserve this. Don't come from an entitlement mentality, but come as a place of, hey, what can I do that will add value to the company that would merit me a raise? And then listen. And what's amazing is that whatever they tell you, go do it, and it works. I had one guy went from $15 an hour to about $28 an hour in a year and a half just by asking that question. And that's after he had three raises during that period of time. After the second raise, the boss said, no more raises. I'm not going to give you any more. And then a few months later, give him a third raise because he realized this guy was becoming almost indispensable in his company. He had to keep him. He had to keep him on by giving him something. This happened even with one of my clients. He was working for Wells Fargo, and there was 100 guys vying for a position, and there was only two positions available out of those 100 plus people applying. And so he went and asked the guys, he said, well, what would it take for me to get this job? And they said, well, if you do X, Y, and Z, then you got a shot. And so he went and did it. I told him, I said, hey, for the next 3 weeks, you don't even have our meetings. Just go. If you have to work an extra hour or two overtime for the meantime, go and do it. Do whatever it requires for you to be able to get this promotion. He did it. They called him in. They said, all right, well, we're giving you the job, which would increase his income by about $3,000, $4,000 a month. And they said, you know why we gave it to you? He said, no. They said, well, you weren't the highest performer. We had guys that performed better than you, but you were the only one out of all the candidates that actually asked us what you could do for us. And that stuck out in our minds. And that's why we gave you that second position. It works.
Chris, it works. I have a bit of an offshoot story that ties into what you're talking about directly. So that asking yourself that question, how can I add more value? And being direct enough to ask that of the people you work for and then do whatever it is we say, 100%. But just as a life value, as a way to approach your own life, to constantly be asking yourself, how can I add more value here? How can I add more value here? And I'll give you an example quick. I may have said this on the show before. I was speaking out at an event in, it was either LA or Seattle years ago. And the guy, that multimillionaire who owned the company, who had brought his employees together and brought speakers in and such, out to dinner with him. The waiter at the restaurant was phenomenal. Like, speaking of somebody who was like, how can I add value here? Like, he would be like, how amazing is your meal? Every little thing. And one of the gentlemen that was at the table with us looked at the owner of the business who had arranged this event and said, if you don't hire that guy, I'm hiring him. The next morning, I go into our room where all the employees were, and I was one of the speakers. And who was sitting, no joke, in the audience now with a six-figure job was our waiter from the night before. Swear to God.
Wow.
It's true.
The mentality, how can I add value? How can I, even though this may in my life be a stepping stone as a waiter, how can I be amazing at it? And let's see what comes from that.
That's right.
Overnight.
It's true. Even jaded people, some people say, yeah, but they're just going to screw me over. They're going to take me for granted. Well, you know what? The one thing I promise is if you actually live this principle and truly have faith that this principle works, which I promise you it does, someone will take you. Someone will steal you away and say, I need you in my business. I need to have you working with me. And even if you're an entrepreneur, I mean, entrepreneurs see it firsthand because you're direct to consumer, right? You're direct to the client or whatever it might be. That value adding, that always trying to figure out how can I serve these people? How can I solve problems? What's going on? How can I be that person that adds that value in a way that I become indispensable to them too? It works. In fact, if there's anything, nothing that you remember from this, even if all these financial strategies you could be doing to create passive income, if you just do this one thing and focus on how do I keep serving and solving problems in a way that money is a natural byproduct. It's the receipt of service for doing that. It makes it everything so much easier.
And it's almost like the bit of the law of attraction in there too, because it's like if you're constantly looking to put value out, put value out, put value out, and you don't always have to know how that's going to come back to you. It will. It's like the law of balances, the law of attraction. It has to at some point.
That's right.
I would agree with that too. Chris, I want to ask you something that's really specific to right now. Hopefully it's not too off topic, but I'm finding, so I'm an employer, and obviously everybody in this country is living through inflation at a level that I don't think we've experienced in quite a while, if ever, in our lifetimes. And I am, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm finding like a lot of people are at a point now where it's almost like they say getting out there and going to work and going to work for a company or what have you is almost not worth it because it's going to cost me so much. It costs me to get to work. It costs me hire to go to the grocery store. So I'm just going to sit in my little hole and not generate any income and just live at this at this low means. And I'm feeling that as I'm trying to find talent to come work for me, that a lot of people think it's not going to be worth it because of the way inflation is going. Are they crazy or am I crazy for thinking that they're crazy?
Who's crazy?
It's a little of both, right? Because it's understandable. I mean, they're not wrong in some ways, because it's what they call in psychology learned helplessness, right? When they did experiments on dogs back before PETA was around, they would do experiments where they would have a cage and they would shock the dog to make it jump over to the next part of the cage to kind of create that behavior. Well, when they turned on the electricity to both sides of the cage, and it, no matter which way it hopped to, which direction it hopped, it was always getting shocked. It eventually would just stop jumping. It would go into a corner and whimper and pee all over itself.
That's horrible.
That's kind of what's happening right now with a lot of people currently, especially if their income is not very high. They feel like they're getting killed by inflation because inflation, let's be honest, inflation is the silent taxation that politicians use to be able to not tax us. They'll say, hey, I won't tax you, poor middle class. We love you. We're going to tax the rich and give to the poor. We're the Robin Hood. But the truth is they're printing a whole bunch of money and they're taxing everybody, which hurts the poor and the middle class more than it ever hurts us and the rich class, right?
Well said.
So yeah, I don't blame you one bit for wanting to say, well, I'm just going to hunker down and try to minimize myself to survival. But that's not a good long-term solution. You will lose and you will have to, you will constantly be always working your tail off until you're dead, which is what my dad used to say back in the day. He's like, I'm just going to work until I die. And that's not the kind of life I want for people. And so there are ways out of it, but it does require you to really look around and look at, you know, finding ways to create more value for people. And it could do it from home. I mean, I do everything from my own home office here. You know, I've been working from my house for 10 years before it was cool. You know, so you can do that. There are ways to make this work, but it does require you finding out, how do I become more valuable to people? It might require you to get more skills. It might require you to learn new things or to find, again, ways to solve problems uniquely with your own strengths and gifts. Do that to help generate income. And then here's the key, is as you're being a responsible steward of your money, you are keeping, you know, spending at least under some kind of control, find ways to keep adding more to your savings first. If you don't have any savings, that's the first starting point. I told that to a guy just the other day where he's like, I really want to invest. I've even been doing some real estate stuff, but I just keep reinvesting it. I was like, well, stop reinvesting all the time. Take some profits. But take money in savings. When you have money in savings, you feel safer. And when you feel safer, you come from a very abundant, better decision-making place. You'll be a much better, wiser decision maker when you know you have money there versus knowing you're paycheck to paycheck and you got to hustle to make more money. So start there. But I'll tell you, a lot of times I see people, this is like the second group of people I was mentioning, and this is the ones that are losing to inflation, but shouldn't be. These are the people that are what I call, like, they have all their money in prison. Right? This is money locked up in equity in your home because you're trying to aggressively pay off your house, which in my opinion is kind of a bad idea in many cases. Unless you're a spendaholic, then pay off your house. But trying to aggressively pay off your home and put it into equity where it's now trapped. And this is what I learned from the last recession. I did the same thing. I put a whole bunch of extra money paying down my mortgage, not paying it off completely, but paying it down to the point when the recession hit and I needed cash, the banks wouldn't give me the money. And then I tried to sell, but it was a horrible time to try to sell. And so I ended up losing hundreds of thousands of equity in my house because I locked it up in there. I would have been better off having that money in savings. Wow. So that's what I mean getting out of prison. Like, if you've got access to equity now and you're employed, this is a good thing. The best time to get money is when you don't need it, because that's the only time banks will give you money. So if you have equity,
I always said that in order to get a loan, you got to prove you don't need it.
Right.
Banks will only give you money when you don't need the money. The worst time to go to them is when you actually need money. So get the money when you don't need it. Now, I'm not just saying willy-nilly throw it in the stock market, because that's a gamble. I think the stock market is way overvalued, overbought. 13 years in a row, it went up. By the way, I went back to the 1800s. The last time we had that long of a streak was only 6 years. And that was in the late 90s. We went 13 years in a row up in the stock market. Do you really think that's going to keep going up? And then if we're losing to inflation, that goes down too. Oh, there's going to be so many unhappy people. So not just equity or home, people got money locked up in stocks and mutual funds, and then their 401ks and IRAs in prison where they can't access it when they need it. So money locked up there. And I see a lot more, a growing population of people just keeping money in savings saying, I don't know what to do because I think the market is overvalued right now. I don't want to put money there, but I don't know what to do with it. This is exactly the perfect time to figure out what to do with that money, how to actually get that money turning into passive income so that you can do that. Give you a quick example of what that really mean there is I had a have a client in San Diego. He was that, you know, he's like the typical, you know, I have a lot of Asian clients. He's like the typical raised to be the ultra saver, right? So he was saving all of his money, throwing it in the stock market. He was paying down his house and his rental property in California aggressively. And I told him, I said, listen, if you pay off both the house and the property, what will you free up per month on your mortgage? Because you still have to pay taxes, right? You understand that if you don't pay your taxes, they can foreclose on you, even if you don't have a bank owing you, you know, where you owe money to. Right. You can be foreclosed with a paid off house. And so I said, well, what would it be? What would it free up on the actual mortgage payment? It was about $4,200 a month and in 6 years, right? If he kept paying it down. I showed him, I said, listen, if we actually use some of the equity, not all the equity, just using some of it, refinance your house and then also sell your rental property in California, which was only making them $200 a month, sell that property and turn around and use it elsewhere, like east in the country, we could actually get that to go from, you know, not just 4,200 in 6 years, but paying off his mortgages to from day one, about $80,000 of passive income now. And by 6 years, he would be well over $100,000 a year passive income.
Wow.
Now remember, he was only trying to get to $50,000 a year eventually, if all things go right, in 6 years. But there, if you get the passive income coming now, you don't worry about inflation. You don't worry about that stuff because you know the here and now. I tell people all the time, it's like, stop trying to plan for your financial future because you can't even predict you're going to be around in the future. Nobody knows. But you can predict your financial present. If you can start making the changes now, you'll take care of the future just fine. But again, you got to do it in a safe way and you got to look at it from a different perspective. You got to look from a perspective of what gives me income now versus I just got to accumulate and save and squirrel away my money like, you know, I'm waiting for winter. And that doesn't work. I can tell you, it's been proven not to work.
You know, Chris, you have a ton of awesome and free content on your website, which is moneyripples.com. And I'm going to encourage people to visit there because this is something people can have maybe a little bit of a nest egg now, not know which what to do with it or which way to go. And I think that they could slowly, like literally one step at a time, build momentum just with a little guidance from you. I mean, it really is. You don't have to. They can start from where they are. I know that sounds obvious, but people probably have more resources and more options than they know they do. You don't know what you don't know, that's but right. You can help people know.
And you got to start asking questions.
If I can go from
$1 million
of debt to financially independent in about 8 or 9 years, I can guarantee anybody else has hope.
That's right, because you're walking the walk. And I know we have to let you go. But before we do, again, I mentioned your website is moneyripples.com. You have a ton of content, blogs, and your podcast. Your podcast is called, is it The Money Show with Chris Miles?
The Chris Miles Money Show.
The Chris Miles Money Show, which I also encourage people to listen to. And so what is the best way for our listeners to connect with you if they have more questions? They want to learn more. They want to know where to start. Is the best way to go to moneyripples.com?
Absolutely. Go to moneyripples.com. There's even a contact us page if you have questions.
Great. And you're all over social media, I assume?
Yep. At moneyripples on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, maybe even Twitter. I don't know.
That's great. Well, thank you, Chris. Have you back for a second show because I want to talk to you at some point in the future about compound interest. Like there's just so once people get off the ground, we would like to have you back for a second show, like a 2.0 Money Ripples.
I would love that
show. So good, because I'm going to hold you to that. Chris Miles, it has been a pleasure talking with you. He's the owner and creator of moneyripples.com. I urge you to check him out. Chris, thanks so much for your insights today.
Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, Chris, thanks so much for joining us. You're listening to Happy Hour here with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And Chris, I just want to let you know, I know you said a lot of important stuff, but you lost me after somebody spending $160 a day on eating out. That's my new goal. Okay? I know it's the wrong goal, but it's a goal. All right. You've given me purpose. All right. So we'll be back with segment number 3 here. So please stick around.
Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jenna and Carol.
And welcome back again one more time to Happy Hour here with Jenna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Now, I got to say, Jenna, you can drop mic on that one. You guys are close. That was good.
All right.
I knew it. It only took 2 years.
That's right, damn it. Yeah. If at first you don't succeed, take 2 years and keep going and going and going.
4 weeks later.
That's right. So thanks very much to Chris Miles for joining us and talking us and talking about money. And how to make it and spend it and not be dumb about it.
Yeah, and I want to add something here about an option for passive income. And he's loaded with great insight, and he's right. And you know, when you have a job, you are trading your time for dollars, and there's only so much time you have and only so many dollars somebody's going to pay you. And there's a point in your life when you need that, and that works for you. And in addition, when you start setting up streams of income that are working for you, whether you're at work, whether you're at sleep, whether you're drinking a margarita, whatever, that you can really start to build momentum. And I still want to speak to the people who don't have a lot of, you know, he was talking about his $100,000 he invested and what he was able to do with that. And for the people listening who don't have a lot to start with, a little bit of a plug here, but I can't help it because it's true. Do you have a book in you? Do you have a story to tell, whether it's fiction, whether it's your own? Write a book, get it published. Nothing is more fun for me when at the end of the month and I balance my checkbooks and I'm like, nope, another deposit from the books that I wrote one time. Now, is there,
it's awesome.
And is there marketing that you need to do or certain efforts, you know, or, and put out something quality that people will talk about and people will buy? Yes. But could you start there? Have you always wanted to write a book? And if you're a female author, look up Little Pink Press. I'll be happy to give you some guidance there, but it is another one that doesn't take a whole lot of capital to get something started that will give you recurring monthly income. And at the same time, you're helping people. So, all right, I'm done.
I love it. Okay. So before we have to know, I really do. And I'll just add one thing to that. Even though you are the expert in this, if you want to write a book, it doesn't have to be War and Peace size. People have attention deficit disorder. People like small bites. You can write a small book, several small books and sell them. And I think that that's a great idea. Remember, I said that at some point.
Absolutely. Kids. Great point.
Okay. So, and again, thanks to Chris Miles. Now, before we go, I want to shamelessly plug one of our friends, and I'm sure she listens to the show. Her name is Toni Cesaro, and she owns and created the Created with Love Boutique, which you can visit at createdwithloveboutique.com. Now, she reached out to me for a couple of reasons. Number one, we've got Mother's Day and Easter in the not too distant future. And also we have this horrific war in Ukraine happening as we speak. And she's actually making jewelry for Easter and Mother's Day, but also some of the proceeds of her jewelry that she's making is specifically targeted toward providing aid to the people in Ukraine. And you can visit all her
cool
stuff. Yes. At createdwithloveboutique.com. And also this is like a side shout out. She is, I want to say she's president or she's a member or she does something big with the Kiwanis Club locally. And they are, the Southern Dutchess Kiwanis Club is hosting an event called Cocktails and Conversation on Tuesday, April 19th at 6 p.m. at Joe Willie's. And I believe it is open to the public. You don't have to be a member. And again, that is to raise proceeds for the people of Ukraine. So you can visit her website, createdloveboutique.com, or you can go to this Cocktails and Conversation event hosted by the Southern Dutchess Kiwanis. Everything goes to a good cause. And I got to tell you, she sent me some pictures of the baubles that she makes. Beautiful stuff. Absolutely beautiful stuff. Thank you.
And she's a cool person too.
Doing that. She's very cool. And, you know, and look, and, you know, she is an entrepreneur, you know, who's had to hustle too, like many entrepreneurs. Yep. So go visit her online boutique, createdwithloveboutique.com. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Toni.
All right. That sounds good. I am here. Thank you.
No, sorry. I thought you were eating peanut butter and couldn't open your mouth. All right.
Yes, that's exactly what I was doing, Jenna. Now, why possibly the image of me eating peanut butter and not being able to open my mouth popped into your head? I don't want to know. I really don't want to know.
Okay, I swallowed.
And meanwhile, at the same time, you're petting me on the top of the head. I heard you like peanut butter, right?
Good boy.
That's right. Good boy. You have your peanut butter and be quiet.
You have your peanut butter.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we're going to close up shop on that note. I'm going to go look for some raspberry jelly and try to make a sandwich. Thank you. And we'll be back with more happy hour. Yes, we'll be back with happy hour again next week. Same time right here. So please join us then. For Jonas Billboard, for Carol Pesci, I'm Frankenberry. Thanks for joining us today. And we'll talk to you again next Sunday. Be good.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Billboard and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.